Hi, I'm Sifu Henry Araneda. I'm the founder of the Ultimate Martial Arts Academy, and with over 20 years of teaching experience, I've become obsessed with helping people improve their Wing Chun knowledge and skill by teaching them how to approach their training efficiently and effectively. I've created the Wing Chun by Design podcast to give you step-by-step strategies to take your Wing Chun to the next level. So guys, let's get started. Hi guys, welcome back to my podcast. So today I'm looking forward to this conversation because it's quite relevant. See, I've been posting Wing Chun content for years now, and every now and then I would get the comment, "That's not Wing Chun." So I thought it would be a great topic to discuss with my longtime student, Brendan. Hi Brendan, how are you?
Good, Sifu.
So how about we jump straight into it? What we're doing today, I'm having Brendan ask me a few questions that every now and then pop up on my social media, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or Facebook. So that way we can target them and see where this leads to. Okay, so let's get started.
So first question, Sifu, that we get a lot is, how do we know a technique belongs to the Wing Chun curriculum?
Okay, so to answer that, you have to keep in mind that, for example, for us that follow the Yip Man lineage, there are certain principles and theories that make Wing Chun what it is, okay? And so if a person is executing a technique following these principles and the theory, then it is Wing Chun. Now, Wing Chun is a system, is a self-defense-based martial art. It's a fighting system that is meant to evolve with time, okay? But having said that, you cannot deviate from the principles and the theory. If you do, then it becomes something else. Now, nothing wrong with that, but then just don't call it Wing Chun. Now, let me give you the example of English. In the English alphabet, we have 26 letters, and that is what makes this language what it is. If you add a couple of letters to the alphabet, then it becomes a different language. Like I also speak Spanish, and we've got 2 to 3 extra letters in the alphabet, and it's a completely different language. Yeah. Same thing applies to Wing Chun. If you were to add a few things from your own personal experience, but it's got nothing to do with the principles, then it's evolving into something else. Or if you're mixing with another system, then it becomes something else. So in my opinion, any technique that you practice, you should be able to trace it back to the forms. So whether it's the empty hand forms, the wooden dummy forms, or even the weapons and the kicking form.
Sure. And just to carry on from that question, why is there so many different Wing Chun interpretations?
That's a good one because, see, from what I've heard from my own Sifu, who is a Yip Man disciple, and many other people that were first generation students from Yip Man, everyone says that back in the day there was no set curriculum or lesson plans, okay? And there wasn't a ranking system. So if someone learned from the grandmaster, you really didn't know for how long that person trained at his school. So that person could have trained for 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years. You didn't really know. And how much did you train? How far along did you go with your training in the curriculum? Yep. All those different things. So then what happens is suddenly, you know, Bruce Lee comes along. He makes this system famous all over the place, and then people pop up and say, I also learned from Yip Man, and then people start to join the school because of the popularity that Wing Chun had in Hong Kong at that time. But then again, that's the question. How long did you train with the master? How much did you learn? And all these different things. And then because there wasn't an official certification or ranking system, many of these people opened their own schools actually quite close to the late grandmaster, and they were direct competition to him. And what were they teaching? Were they teaching just what they knew? Were they teaching, you know, what did they teach once they ran out of material?
Yep.
And then Yip Man, what he would do is like, well, if they opened a school, then they are a sifu themselves. They don't need to come back to me. So in other words, you know, I'm not going to continue, you know, teaching or advancing their knowledge if they've already opened a school and they know what they need to know. And then unfortunately, if you don't go back to the source on a regular basis, it's very easy to deviate and then to drift off into something else that's not meant to, or that does not resemble the way it should be done. Then go down a couple generations into where we are now, and then out there we've got so many Wing Chun interpretations that are far off from what Wing Chun is really meant to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's answered very well. Another question, Sifu, maybe for the audience, we get this question asked a lot. What's the difference between applied Wing Chun and the other Wing Chun systems out there?
Great question. Now, simple answer, applied Wing Chun is Yip Man Wing Chun. Okay, now what is applied Wing Chun? It's the interpretation of what my sifu learned from Yip Man. So it's the training curriculum methodology that he learned from Yip Man and how he passes this knowledge on to us. And he has called it applied Wing Chun because the main focus of this practical fighting system is for the practitioner to learn how to apply it, because the application is the only way to verify the truth, there's a saying. So if you're practicing something and you're spending hours, weeks, months, and years of your life doing something, you want to make sure that you're able to apply it, that you can pull off the technique if ever you need to, right? So what is applied Wing Chun? Basic, simple answer, it's Yip Man Wing Chun, with my sifu's interpretation from what he learned, and of course from his own fighting experience.
Okay. And we've just got another question that's asked a lot too. Why do we wear protection pads? Why do we use shin pads? And why do we use tie pads?
Okay, because the way we train is very hands-on. So the moment you learn a particular technique, let's say Park Sao, and let's say a tansao, you will only know that you can pull off the technique, that you can apply the technique, if you're using a fair amount of force, of power, speed, distance, and timing. So if I am a student and I'm working with someone, if you feed me a hook and you outweigh me 20 kilos and I have to be able to intercept and stop your hook, let's say with my tansao, and I want to punch you back. Now, in order to keep things safe, that's one of the reasons why we use protective equipment. But the other reason is because you don't want to hold back when you attack, and me when I defend. Of course, I'm going to take care of you and you're going to take care of me if we're training. But the mindset is different. The mindset, if you swing at me and you're coming in, let's say, with a hook punch to my face, and I intercept with my tansao and my forearm meets your wrist, okay, and we're doing it nice and strong, hard and fast, and we do that 500 times within an hour. If you're not wearing any pads, you won't be able to drive home.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? And if you, you know, like most people, we work, study. If you get injured and you don't go to work, that affects your livelihood. So we have to be smart about things. You don't want to be like the tough guys that sometimes will comment on my videos and say, oh, you need to train without pads and this and that. Trust me, if you're training with Brendan and he's going to give you a Park Sao, you will want a pad on your forearm, right? Because the way we do the techniques, we want to use speed, power, and everything that involves executing the technique to the best of your ability. Same with your shins. If I'm intercepting, if I'm jamming, if I'm kicking you, and I weigh 92 kilos, right? If I'm going to kick you, I'm going to kick you with power towards your shin, towards your foot. If you don't have any pads, trust me, potentially I could break your foot. I could really hurt your shin. So that's why we wear the protective equipment. And let's say boxing gloves. A lot of people will say, why do you guys wear boxing gloves? Because if you're coming with a punch and I'm stopping it with my elbow, right? The only way that you're going to protect your hands, your fingers from my elbow is with a boxing glove. Do we use the MMA gloves? Of course we do. But there are certain things that we can better train with a boxing glove, right? And it's just got to do with protection and being smart about it. And the tie pads, same thing. Like if I'm going to be punching, of course, I can punch and you can put your hands up.
Yeah.
Or I can punch and you can put tie pads up. And then I feel the resistance, the pressure when every time I make contact. And, you know, you can take it for hours at a time without getting hurt. So it's just a smart way to train.
Yeah. And just to add to that, I mean, it gives you confidence. You know, when you know you've got a big guy coming, he's swinging, and you can stop it, and you are doing the technique correct as well. So I think that adds to it too.
Yeah, for sure. Because let's say, you know, there's a 16-year-old coming to the school because he or she wants to learn how to protect themselves. And if you're just doing tap, tap, here, there, block, up, down, deep down inside, you know that you're not quite sure if you can stop someone in full range coming at you to attack you. Because all you've done in your training is just, you know, 30% hand techniques and everything is choreographed. But if you put your gloves on and you've got your head guard on and the other person's coming at you with a full swing or something like that, right then and there you will know where you're at. Because the truth is revealed.
Yeah.
You'll see, can you stop it? Did you maintain your balance? Did you get like a shock of emotions when that happened? Because a lot of people are not used to having someone launch a punch to the face or a kick to the gut. All this is part of the learning process. And then once you realize that, hey, it's no big deal, once you've learned the technique, you can deal with it, you can cover, you can counterattack, that's when your confidence grows. And that's when you know you can deal with it.
Exactly.
That's when you know you can defend yourself. And if you have someone launch thousands of punches to your face, thousands of kicks, you won't even sweat it when you have someone for real come with one punch, two, call it five punches. It's just training. It's just another training drill.
Exactly. All right, just on to the next question, Sifu. So this gets asked a lot. I think this is the most common one. Why do we use low roundhouse kicks? Is that even part of Wing Chun?
Great question. Yes, it is. See, in the Wing Chun curriculum from Yip Man, there are 8 Wing Chun kicks. Okay? Each kick has its own characteristic. Each kick has its own form of energy. When you kick, the direction and how you kick, how you execute the kick. Unfortunately, not everyone from the original first generation Wing Chun students, disciples, learnt all 8. And much less learn how to apply the kicks. That's why nowadays you just go on YouTube, type in Wing Chun kicks, and the most you will see are front kicks, side kicks. And that's about it. Every now and then you might see someone attempt like a little sweep or, you know, like a different type of kick. But those are the main kicks that you see. So, of course, if you are brought up in a school with just that as part of your curriculum and then you see someone else do something completely different, then you wonder, well, that's not Wing Chun. Well, my sifu never taught me that. We've never done that. That goes against this and this and that. And, well, if you did not learn something, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay? When you go to school and you learn math, you learn to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And if that's all you learned, then when you are faced with trigonometry and algebra and higher math, then you're like, oh, no, that's not math. Math is just add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Divisions. So, same thing applies with kicks. If there are 8 kicks and the solgurk, the sweep kick, we call it the low kick in English because it's, you know, well known as a low kick. But just let me clarify, it's completely different to the way a Muay Thai or a kickboxer would do the kick, as you know. We sweep kick. We also call it the low kick, just so people can understand in the class which type of sweep kick we're working on. But it's actually a sweep kick. And the reason why sometimes we do a full spin after it, that's only when we don't hit the target. Either we miss the target, which shouldn't happen, but let's say I'm dealing with someone who's an experienced fighter and they time it correctly and they see me about to execute that sweep kick, pull the leg, right? Step away, shuffle back, and then I'm there. Once you fully commit to your kick, you can't retract. No way. The way we do it, you go all in. So when you go all in and you realize that you've missed the target, then the smartest thing to do is just spin and cover. But it's not some movement that we're doing out of because we want to look fancy, because everything we do is, once again, with the application in mind, being effective in a fight, exactly. Right? So also the Wing Chun from Yip Man, there is a kicking form, okay, with a tripod. There's a set sequence of movements that is a form just for the eight kicks. So, and it's not like what I've seen people post, you know, from a different lineage where they have the tripods and all they do is just walk around and do like a little front kick and then spin and I'll do a front kick. What's the, if you just use common sense, what's the purpose of having three posts if all I'm doing is just the same kick from different directions? Might as well have one post. I'll kick it from here. I'll turn around. I'll walk around. I'll kick it from there. And I'm using the same post to do the same kick.
Or not even have a post.
So it makes no sense. Yeah. There are three for a specific reason, which I'm not going to go into with this podcast episode. But trust me, the Solgurk is definitely one of the eight kicks.
Glad you cleared that up. All right. Other question is, what is an arrow punch and why do we use it in applied Wing Chun?
Okay, the arrow punch, the Qin Choi, you can find it actually in when you practice the long pole power drill, right? Low stance and you do the punches. But for some reason, people don't see the connection and they don't see that how they can use that in a fighting scenario. See, a lot of people will focus on short bridge techniques, okay? Short bridge hands. That's why most of the times when you're watching a YouTube video, you'll see people very close working on one, two, three, four, one, two, three, and hit and punch and chase and doing the chain punches. Everything is quite close. In applied Wing Chun, our specialty is long bridge hand. We also know, of course, short bridge. We're very good at short bridge, but we are also very good at long bridge. It's like you coming and coming up to me and pulling out a pocket knife and I pull out a sword or a machete. You will have no chance at reaching me if I've got that machete, if I've got better reach. Yeah. Would you agree?
Agreed.
Right. So with the arrow punch, that's just the long bridge hand, the long distance punch. So it has its place in your fighting arsenal. Whether you use it, you know, as a starting point, in between, or at the end. And that's the arrow punch. It's just a long-range punch where, if done correctly, it's very hard to stop.
So to all the Wing Chun practitioners out there, look deeper. It's in your curriculum. It should be.
It is. Yeah. It is, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
And that's for the main. That's all the main questions for now.
Okay, then. So that's it for today's episode, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks very much, Brendan.
Nothing civil.
So, guys, thanks again. We would greatly appreciate a positive review, and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you. Bye.